Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Hey. After all the excitement about the king of Persia that we saw yesterday, this Daf is going to be a lot calmer, but just as interesting. So we are up to the second word in the Mishnah, the second category of Regalim, that Nisan is the beginning of the year for holidays. And we asked, well, what's the difference? What's the halachic application for starting the holidays on Pesach? And we gave an answer according to Rabbi Shimon regarding his opinion about do not delay, lo te'acher. If you give a donation, you have to pay it with before the due date. And when is the due date? Well, Rabbi Shimon actually gave you quite a long time. He said it has to be after three festivals pass in order, starting from Pesach and ending with Sukkot. So that might be as much as five different holidays that pass. If you donate after Pesach, then you have a whole another year plus those two more holidays until Sukkot. And so therefore, for his, because it has to be in order, well, if you say in order, which one's first? It means Pesach is first. That's why the Mishnah tells us Nisan is the first, the head of the year for holidays. Okay, it's an interesting answer because it's the Stam Mishnah, and the Stam Mishnah is only there, only included that category for the Rabbi Shimon. Even though a Stam Mishnah, we usually say is a Bimeir. So it is an interesting application. Okay, but that's the application. Now, once we answer that question, now we go into a long discussion about this very law that you should pay things on time and not delay. And that's very good advice. We give donations. Happens to be that my taxes were due in 2 days from now, but my accountant said that I don't have to pay them now because of the hurricane. I can pay them and pay it in a couple of months. I said, great. So taxes, pay as late as you as is legally allowed. But for everything else, for donations and for korbanot, that one gives to the Beit HaMikdash. So one should give it in a timely manner. And so we saw there were five different opinions about this as three festivals starting with Pesach. Rabbi Meir says one festival, two festivals. And the last opinion was just Sukkot. Yesterday, we saw the derivations that each one got it from. 1, 2, and 5 all derived it from these pesukim in Devarim that say shalosh pamim bashana. Before this is talking about Sukkot. And then this is a summary pasuk that says 3 times of the year, you should come and don't come empty handed, meaning bring whatever you owe. And then it lists chag ha-masot, chag ha-shavuot, chag ha-sukkot. So why does it have to list them? We just already said the 3 times. Don't we know when they are? So yeah, we know when they are, but it listed 3, either to teach that you have to wait all 3, like Tanakama. It listed them in order, even though the last one was Sukkot. So this Sukkot is super redundant. So that's to teach that has to be in order. Or to be Elazar says just that word, Sukkot, is redundant because that was the immediately preceding context. And so they all learn it one way or another from this Pasuk, 1, 2, and 5. 3 and 4, however, learned it from other Pesukim. They didn't need this. So we asked for Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, what do they do with this pasuk, right? What do they learn it for? What do they do with these extra words here of these holidays? And we gave an answer. We said it's to compare Shavuot to the other holidays next to them. So Shavuot is only one day. What if I didn't get a chance to bring the Olat Re'iyah, the necessary korbanot on Shavuot? Are there any makeup days? And the answer is yes. It's juxtaposed with Chag HaMasot to teach you that just as Chag HaMasot is one day and then you have 6 days to make up, so to Shavuot, even though the whole holiday is only one day, you still have 6 more days on Chol to bring the holiday Korbanot that you missed. Okay, so that's the connection with Masot. And our next question is, well, why is it connected to Sukkot? What does Sukkot teach us about Shavuot? What do they have in common? And their answer is going to be sleeping over. Let's see the halacha right here. Ella lemai hilchata ketaver hachamana l'chag ha-Sukkot. Why is Shavuot connected to Sukkot? Lakushe l'chag ha-Masot. Rather Masot. Masot is connected to, I'll go back here. Masot is connected to Shavuot to teach me that Shavuot, you have 6 makeup days. And Masot is connected to Sukkot to teach me that On both, on Sukkot, I have to stay over in Jerusalem, just like I have to do so on Masot. Ma chag Masot ta'on lina, af chag Sukkot ta'on lina. So regarding Pesach, it says you're going to bring the Korban Pesach and then you're going to celebrate there. And then in the morning, you can go home. Why is it saying in the morning you can go home? It means that you're not allowed to go home at night. You have to sleep over in Jerusalem. You have to be in Jerusalem to bring the Korban Pesach and to eat it in the walls of Jerusalem. And you have to stay there. How long do you have to stay there? Not one night, but actually most likely two nights. Because obviously the next day is still Yom Tov. So you still have to be there to celebrate. You have to stay actually an additional night, and you can only go home on the first day of Chol HaMoed. Okay, so you have to stay a sleepover, which is actually a really beautiful halakha, as we discussed when we were in Masechet Pesachim, that, you know, sometimes you have a meal and people stay for an hour or two and then they disperse. But if you have to sleep over, then you're gonna have to find friends and bring tents and you can celebrate the whole night, and it makes it much more festive, kind of like having a Shabbaton. So that's really beautiful. So we know that that's true for Pesach. How do we know that it's true for Sukkot also? Oh, this pasuk, by juxtaposing them, teaches that on Sukkot also, you have to sleep over until the first day of Chol HaMoed. There are some opinions that say you have to sleep over in Jerusalem the whole holiday, which would be really a lot of fun to have everybody that they can't go anywhere. Okay, so that's what we learned from that pasuk. Excellent. So now we go on. Yes, v'tana kama v'rabbi Shimon tashlumin la'aseret mina lehu. So that's great that three and four learned about the makeup days, that Shavuot has makeup days. We learned from this pasuk. But, and even Rabbi Elazar, since he only uses the last word, Chag HaSukkot, he can also learn something from the juxtaposition. But the first two opinions, they already learned something from these three. They learned how long is the due date. So they already used this pasuk. So they can't use it again to learn that there are six makeup days for Chag Shavuot. So therefore, one and two, what is their source for makeup days on Shavuot? They need a different pasuk. And the answer is, Nafka lehumi detaneh rabba bar Shemuel. Detaneh rabba bar Shemuel. Amra Torah, minei yamim vekadesh chodesh. Minei yamim vekadesh aseret. Ma chodesh limnuyav, af aseret limnuyav. So they're going to derive it from the way the Torah says to count things. The Torah says when you count a month, you count it by day. This is a pasuk that the context is the salav, the birds that came down as punishment. So the context is irrelevant, but the pasuk says, ad chodesh yamim, a month of days. So how do you count up to a month? You count days. And therefore, when you're going to celebrate a new month, how long do you celebrate? One day. Rosh Chodesh is essentially one day when you know when the day of Rosh Chodesh is. And so too, when we count up to Shavuot, Aseret is Shavuot. How do we count up to Shavuot? Well, we count by weeks, 7 weeks, right? Sheva Shabbatot Temimot. So since you're counting by week to get there, so how long is the sanctification period going to be? Also 1 week. So even though it's only Yom Tov for one day, nevertheless, the next 6 days are not holiday, but they still have some sanctification, enough that you can make up the korbanot for the holiday that you missed. And that's how those two Tanaim can learn it. Okay, question on that. Emma said at Chad Yoma. Wait a second, when we count up to Shavuot, we count by day, right? Also, we count Yom Echad, Yom Sheni La'omed, Yom Shilishi La'omed. So why don't you say that? Therefore, it's only one day. We count, you know, we also count by day. So the Rava says, what, do we only count by day and not by the week? We count both of them. So therefore, we can learn from both of them. And we can learn from the week also that the week is a significant factor. Right, the master's taught that we count by day and also by week, which is exactly what we do. We say Yom Shiva Yamim Lomer Shehem Shavu Echad, and you see how it's very important to say both. There's a lot of discussion in the poskim. If you only said Hayom Shiva Yamim and you didn't count the weeks, do you even fulfill the mitzvah? Can you keep counting the next night? Probably yes, but I mean, there's a lot of discussion and it is problematic. So therefore, since it's absolutely necessary to count the weeks, So that is that we sanctify for the weeks. And after all, the name of the holiday is Chag Shavuot, the holiday of weeks. So you see that the week is an essential part of this holiday of Shavuot, and that's why that's how they learn that there is Tashlumin for all six days later. All right, excellent. Now we're going back to the Braita. We had a Braita before that listed all the things that are included within Baal Te'acher, that if you donate or give or are supposed to give any of these items, do not delay giving them. On that list was Korban Pesach, and that was very strange because Pesach can only be given on Pesach. Why would you have to say, don't delay, bring Korban Pesach, as if you're going to bring Korban Pesach on Shavuot, right? You couldn't bring it anyway. So that's our question. Pesach bar mikra bar galim hu? Can you bring Pesach on any other holiday? You know, what? All these opinions, what are they going to do with that? So Pesach zimna kebi ale, I akrebe ikrebe, v'ila akrebe idahele. So, right, this is all part of the question. Pesach has a set date. And so the Pesach, since it has a fixed time, if you did it then, great. If you didn't, for whatever reason, you didn't do Korban Pesach then, maybe you lost it and then you found it later, or you were tameh, then that's it. It's excluded. You can't bring it on a different holiday. And so we have two answers. Amar of Chista, Pesach kedinas ba. Pesach, you're right, it really doesn't belong there. It's there for no reason. Sometimes when you have a list of things that are always mentioned together, so then just by rote, you mentioned the other ones together. And so you have Bechod and Maaser, Pesach. So, you know, so with the memorizer just snuck it in, but it actually has no meaning there. That's Rav Chista's answer. Okay, interesting. But Rav Sheshat works a little harder, and he finds a good reason. Amar, my Pesach, Shalme Pesach. When we say Pesach, we mean the Shalamim that would be brought with that animal instead. Right, the law, if you remember from Pesachim, is that if you had an animal that you designated for Korban Pesach, and then you didn't use it for Korban Pesach, right? Again, maybe you lost it and you found it, then you will bring it later on, and it will become a shelamim offering, right? So the same animal just turns into a regular shelamim. Pesach and shelamim are very similar types of korbanot. So you do bring it as a shelamim, and that's what this Baraita is talking about. If you have an animal that you designated as a Korban Pesach and didn't use it, then make sure to bring it as a shelamim before the correct due date. Good. And that could be on any time, any holiday. Yihachi hainu shelamim. And now a question is, well, if it tells you that you should treat it like it's talking about the shelamim, that's already included in the category of shelamim. We have an overall category, any shelamim, you have to bring it on time. So why would you have to specify and also shalmei pesach, which is just one type of shelamim? Tana shelamim abein mechamat pesach utena shelamim abein mechamat atzman sakada techamina ha'il mechamat pesach ka'atu ke pesach tamu kamashmalan. And it says, no, the Braita has to say both, because I might have thought, since this shelamim comes on account of it being originally a korban pesach, and therefore maybe it has the same law as Korban Pesach, and maybe that means only one holiday can pass. Just like Korban Pesach has to be done that holiday, maybe the Shelamim would have to be done before the very next holiday, before Shavuot, and you wouldn't have the normal cycle of whatever Tana says, of three or two. And so therefore, Kamash Malan, it comes to teach us that the Shelamim, that's a substitute for the Pesach, is treated like any other shelamim. All right, so that concludes that discussion. And now we're going to get to the next part, which is a derivation for each item on that list. That list of the Braita that we saw yesterday, it's actually going to be repeated here, but this time with a pasuk that will show what each one is. And we're just going to go through, after we do that, we're going to see what is the case of a substitute that's in this list. And the last thing that says only you bear a sin, why? And we're going to see that means either that the animal is the animal is still valid, even if you bring it late, or that the wife is not punished. That's what we'll end with. Okay, I'll explain that when we get there. So here, Menaha Nemile, the question is, all the different categories of animals and sacrifices and donations and charity gifts that one donates and one is obligated to, they all have to be done on time. How do we know each one of the categories? The Tanura Banan Kiti Dor Neder. Here's the full pasuk from Devarim 23. I will read it carefully, because what we're going to do right now is atomize this pasuk. We're going to take it piece by piece and show how every couple of words teaches a new category. This is a typical style of Midrash Halakha to say that each word or phrase is significant in and of itself. Ki tidor neder, if you should make a vow, that's going to be one category. La Hashem Elokecha, lo ta'ched l'shademo, if you vow something to Hashem, do not delay in fulfilling it. Ki darosh yidreshenu Hashem Elokecha, because God is going to demand it from you, and you will incur guilt if you don't give it on time. So this is the main pasuk, and now let's see how we take it apart. En li ela neder, nedava minayin. So the pasuk says explicitly, ki tidor neder. Now what about nedava, which was the other next item on the list? What's the difference between a neder and a nedava? Neder is if I say, I obligate myself to bring a type of korban. So the obligation is on me, the person. And nedava is if I look at an animal, I say, this animal will be a type of korban. So the obligation is focused on that animal. The difference is, let's say that animal gets a blemish or dies or gets lost or something. So if it was a nedava on the animal, then I don't have to bring another one. But if it was a neded, it was my obligation. So if one animal that I designated gets lost, I have to bring another one. Okay, so the pasuk only says neder. How about a nedava? How do I know that that also has to be brought on time? Ne'amar kan neder, ne'amar lahalan im neder on nedava. Another pasuk in Vayikra that compares neder and nedava and shows that they're the same for all their halachic matters. Mal lahalan nedava imo, afkan nedava imo. So just like there, the offering is governed by this halakha, so too nedava is together with this halakha that has to be done on time. All right, so that's the first category. La Hashem Elokecha elu hadamin harachin v'charamin v'hekdeshot. So the second category, damin, is if I say I'm going to donate to the Beit Hamikdash my worth as if I were to be sold on the slave market. So I have to go and, you know, evaluate myself and then give that money. Arachin is also if I donate my worth, but this is according to the set values that the Torah gives for men, for women. And so if I donate that, and charamin and hekdeshot, if I give things to the Kohanim, to the Beit HaMikdash, other types of donations, all these are included in Lashem Elokecha because these are all donations I make to the Beit HaMikdash. Good. Lo ta'cher l'shalemo hu ve'lo chidufav. Okay, don't delay in paying it. This teaches that this only applies to the item itself, but not to the substitute. The substitute, let's say I take one animal and I substitute it for another, then the time log for the first animal does not apply to the second animal that I used as a substitute. The conclusion of the Gemara will be that it resets when I substitute one for another. The Gemara is going to discuss this one at length, the substitute. And then, ki darosh yidreshenu, Hashem is going to demand it. Elo hata'ot vashamot olot ushlamim. This refers to obligatory offerings, right? Hatat and Hasham are obligatory if one makes a sin by mistake. And olot and shelamim, well, we already had a category of vows. So those are the voluntary ones. Therefore, it leaves these olot and shelamim to be the necessary, the obligatory types of olot and shelamim. Those you have to give on time. Hashem Elokecha, which is again, repeated in the pasuk, elu sedakot u'ma'serot u'bechor. This refers to sedakai, give to poor people, and tithing, and the firstborn animals, which one gives to the kohen. Me'imach zeleket shichecha u'pea, that all these parts of the grain that we have to leave for the poor, that we learn, you have to give it on time, and we learn that from imach. Maybe this is connected to the pasuk that says la'ani imach, to the poor people that are with you. So we learn from that. And of course, we said yesterday that although these you have to actually just leave them in the field and the poor people can come anytime, but there could be a case where you might gather them if there's no poor people around with intention to give it to them eventually. So you have to give it within that due date. And the last part of the pasuk, v'yabachachet, and so otherwise will incur guilt. You incur the guilt if you delay, but the sacrifice itself will be a valid sacrifice. So even if I wait 2 years before I bring a certain shelamim that I'm supposed to bring. Oh, so it's true, I violated lo te'acher. Nevertheless, the sacrifice is a valid sacrifice. If it was a chatat offering, then it's okay. It atones for whatever reason I had to bring it. All right, that's the end of the Braita. And now we discuss these two matters. The first one is the substitute. Amar mor, lo te'acher l'shalemo. So in this Braita we just said when the verse says do not delay in paying it, so don't delay in paying it refers to the original animal, but if I give a substitute, then the law does not apply to the substitute. So now we're going to ask, what kind of substitute? What category? These laws of substitution of animals are very complicated. In general, you're not allowed to make a substitute. We're afraid that people are going to say, take a nice animal, and then they'll feel bad later. Oh, why did I give this nice, why did I donate this nice sheep? You know what? I'll substitute it with a lower one. So therefore, the Torah says, you're not allowed to substitute. And if you try to substitute, then both of them will be holy. So what category are we talking about that it would not apply? We would not apply the law of don't delay. If it's any olash or shelamim, then it and the substitute have to be offered. And since the substitute also has to be offered as another olah or as another shelamim, then certainly that would have to be on time. And it would be included in do not delay. So it's not talking about that category. If you're talking about a chatat, if I have one chatat, I say animal A will be for a chatat. And then I change my mind. I say no, animal B. Well, then that doesn't work. And the chatat, the second one, animal B, I can't bring it as a chatat. Because once you're not allowed to just bring a chatat because for fun, you only can bring it if you actually made a sin. So I bring chatat A to atone for the sin. Chatat B is chulin. I'm not allowed to bring chulin to the Beit HaMikdash, and so I have to leave it to die. So it doesn't get sacrificed anyway, and therefore, for sure, the law of don't delay doesn't apply because it never gets sacrificed in the first place. So what category is this Baraita talking about when it says a substitute does not fall under this law? Ela mai chidufav, chidufe todah. Oh, todah is an interesting case. So korban todah, this is, you know, when we say berkat gomel, if we go on a trip or if someone was sick and they got better. So in the olden days, they would not only say gomel, they would also bring a korban todah together with, it's similar to a shelamim, but korban todah also has 40 loaves of bread and matzah that you bring with it. Okay, so now a korban todah, what would happen if you substitute the korban todah for another? Well, in that case, since it's kind of like a shelamim, I have to offer both, but only on animal A, the original one, do I bring the 40 loaves, not animal B. Okay, nevertheless, I still do both. But here's an interesting case where I would have come into a problem where I can't actually offer both. I designate animal A, this will be my korban todah. And then I designate another animal B. Maybe the first one got lost or something. So I designate animal B. And then they get mixed up. They look alike and I can't tell them apart. Umeta achat mehen. So if, let's say before it died, let's say I have two animals, I don't know which is which, I can still offer both as sacrifices and 40 loaves. And I'll say the 40 loaves will be for animal A, whichever one it is. So that's not a problem. The problem occurs when one of them dies. I don't know if it was animal A that died or animal B that died. Therefore, if I bring this animal and this was animal A, that means I have to bring the 40 loaves. But if it's animal B, then I can't bring the 40 loaves. So I don't know which one to do. You can't just bring loaves if they're chulin and bring them. So therefore, there's no help. I can't bring anything at all. And that's what we're talking about. This is a case where really this animal should be brought, but for a technicality, I can't bring it. And that's what this Braita is talking about when it says this one should not be brought late. Okay, we're explaining this a little further. Hechi levid likarba velikrib lechem behada dilma timurahi likarba belo lechem dilma todahi. How can I bring it? Should I bring it with the bread? But maybe this is animal B. Should I bring it without bread? But maybe it's animal A, then I have to bring it. I can't bring it without. So that's what it's talking about. But this, we reject this. Yeah, but after all, for whatever reason, I can't bring this animal at all. So it wouldn't make sense for the Torah to include these extra words to be talking about this case of the substitute korban Torah when the other one died, when I'm not allowed to bring this at all. So since I just leave it and I don't sacrifice it, then the category of don't delay would never apply to this in the first place. So I wouldn't have to exclude it. So we come back actually to our original suspicion. Amar av sheshat le'olam le'mute chilufei ola ushlamim. Talking about regular ola and shlamim. And if I substitute it, then I have to bring both animals as an ola or both animals as a shlamim. And to that we said, well, obviously you have to bring it on time, but there is a chidush within this. Let's say I donated it before, I promised it before Pesach started. And then I didn't bring it Pesach and I didn't bring it Shavuot. And then after Shavuot, this animal A got lost. I substituted for animal B and then I found it. So then I have A and B, and this is now before Sukkot starts, and according to all those opinions that I would have to bring it on Sukkot. So now what happens? Do I have to bring both animal B and animal B by Sukkot? V'humam v'chillo alacher v'avar alav regel echad tzakad ha'atech amin ha'ol mikoach kamak ka'ateh keman de'avru alav shelosha regalim damu kamashma alan. So I might have thought that since animal B is also a substitute for animal A, therefore, it continues the timeline. And since animal A already passed two holidays, so now animal B also has only one left, has to be done brought by before Sukkot. Therefore, the Baraita comes to teach me, no, that's not true. Even though animal B substitutes animal A, it starts its own clock from new. And therefore, the substitute, I can have another, whatever, three holidays. Depending on which opinion you have, you go by before, you'll have extra time because you reset, you passed it on. Okay, so that's the concept. Now, one last point about this. This is kind of like, you know, if you buy something, it has a warranty, you know, a 3-year warranty. And let's say, you know, you 2 years later, a thing breaks and you get a new one. So now do you get a new warranty for another 3 years? Or since it substitutes the original, you only have one year of warranty left. So this would say it's a new one. So you get a new 3-year warranty. Joel, question?
I'm just curious. Can you rephrase it from the point of view of lot lot acher? Right, so at the end of the day, this is the case. So where's the lot acher first?
Where's the lot acher? Well, because I had animal A. I would have had to bring it by Sukkot because that's the third holiday. But now it got lost and I substituted for animal B. So this animal B, lo ta'acher does not apply to animal B. In other words, the original timeline does not apply, but rather has its own timeline. So lo ta'acher does apply, but it applies in a new way, not from the original, not the timeline of the original animal. That's the application of the pasuk. Okay, will be meir. The Amar Kevan Shavad Alav Regel Rishon Ovel Bebar Ta'acher, Bebar Ta'acher, Ma'ikal Me'mar. For the be meir, he says only one. You only ever have one holiday anyway. So therefore, it would never make a difference if I promised an animal in the middle of the summer, and then it got lost, and I promised the second animal B. Well, the first animal I would have had to bring before Sukkot. So the second animal I have to bring before Sukkot. So therefore, Baal Ta'acher applies equally to all of them because there is only one holiday. There's no point. It doesn't matter if I reset or don't reset. And so therefore, according to him, how would he explain that, Braita? Oh, I had animal A in the middle of Chol HaMoed. I donated it before Sukkot started. On Chol HaMoed, it got a mum, and I had to substitute with it another. And then I substituted with B, and then the holiday finished, and I didn't bring it. In that case, Rabbi Meir would say, it's okay, you have till the next holiday. So that would be a case where if I considered the substitute to be the same as the original, then I would have to sacrifice it before Shemini Aseret or on Shemini Aseret. But if I consider the substitute to be a new animal and start the clock again, then I'm donated it on Sukkot. I have another holiday. I can wait till Pesach to bring it. I might have thought that since it is only a continuation, it comes from the first one, it continues the timeline of the first one, therefore it teaches, no, it's its own being, and the timeline resets, even according to the Bimeir. All right, so that ends that discussion. And now the very last one is, we learn from here that if a person delays, so the person will bear guilt for delaying after the due date, but the animal is still valid. If it was a korban chatat, it's a valid korban chatat, even though you did it a year or two later, it's okay, you could still bring it. Of course, the animal would have to be within the had the proper age, okay, but assuming that it's still the proper age. Okay, so now we ask on this braita, are you learning this law from the pasuk here in Devarim? We have another tradition that we learn it from a different pasuk. Actually, it's also in Devarim, but not 23, but rather 14. And so what is this tradition? So we're about to quote a tradition in the name of Acherim. Who is Acherim? Some say it's Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir learned from Elisha, the wayward rabbi. So even though he learned from him, so we quote him as Acherim, others say. It could be, but Rabbi Meir sometimes is quoted by name. So Acherim could just mean in the original context, there were some rabbi that said this, and then other people said that. Okay, so whoever this is, here's what Acherim are going to say. They're going to learn the law that a delayed animal is valid from another pasuk, and therefore, we don't need this original, this pasuk, v'heya bechachet. Okay, so what do they say? Detanya acherim omerim. Yachol yeh bechor shavra shenato kifsuleha muktashin v'yipasel. A bechor, a firstborn animal that is given to the Kohen. And the Kohen is supposed to bring it as a korban. Let's say he doesn't. He delays a full year and he doesn't bring it. Would you say it's like pisuleh muktashin and it's invalid? Would you say it's an invalid sacrifice? Talmud omar va'achalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha ma'asar deganecha tiroshecha v'yisarecha ubchorot bekarecha v'sonecha makish bechor lema'aser. So this pasuk in Devarim says you should eat there in Jerusalem the ma'aser, the tithing that you bring, and the Kohen also eats the parts of the firstborn animal that he's allowed to eat. And so we're connecting the firstborn animal with ma'aser. Why is the pasuk connecting them? Ma ma'aser eno nifsal mishana l'chaberta. Just like ma'aser, ma'aser you can eat any time. If you give ma'aser to a Levi and he wants to store it away for 5 years and eat it later, that's fine. There's no problem in eating old ma'aser. Af pechor eno nifsal mishana l'chaberta. So too, the firstborn animal, even though you're supposed to bring it within by the due date, if you didn't and you violated lo ta'acher, nevertheless, it's still valid. And so we learn that from here. So what do we see? That we can learn that a delayed animal is valid from this pasuk in Devarim, and therefore we don't need v'hiya b'cha'achet. Okay, so that's the question, and we answer. No, istirich, we still need both. This thing that Acherim brought was only applied to the firstborn animal. And maybe only that remains valid. Because a Bechor, it doesn't atone for anything. The Kohen has to bring it as a sacrifice, but it doesn't appease, not an appeasement, doesn't atone. It's not necessary for the benefit of the Bechor. But other korbanot, like a korban hatat, it has to serve as atonement for the person that's bringing it. So maybe I would say only a bechor is not invalidated when it's delayed, but another type of animal that does offer atonement to its bringer, maybe that would be invalidated. So then you know what? That's why I still need the pasuk v'ya bechachet in addition to what Acherim said. So we answered that question. But one more question. V'akateh mide ben azay nafka. Oh, we have yet another place that we can learn this law that a delayed animal is still valid. And this is something that Ben Azai taught. The Tanya Ben Azai Omer Oto. This pasuk is talking about pigul, that if you leave something over for 3 days, lo yedaseh hamakriv oto, lo yechashev lo, even if you think about the, eating it after 3 days, it's called pigul. Lo pigul tiyan nevishal ched menu avonatisa. So this pasuk says lo yedaseh hamakriv oto. This is invalid. So the word oto is a limiting word saying only this is invalid. That implies there is something else that is valid. So matamud lomar, because there is a pasuk, our pasuk, that says, do not delay in paying. So I might have thought that also one who delays his neder will not be valid, is not atoned for, is not wanted. So a delayed animal is also invalid. I might have thought that because it says you can't don't delay it. Tamudomar oto. That's why this pasuk here in Vayikra, since it says only pigul is invalid, oto belo yeraseh ve'en me'acher nidro belo yeraseh. Therefore, I can learn only pigul is invalid, but a delayed animal is valid, is not included in the invalid category. So you see, Ben Azai learned this law about all korbanot. It would be okay. Any delayed animal would be okay. And therefore, you know what? We don't need the lo ta'acher l'shalemo to teach me that it is valid. So now we're going to introduce a whole new way of deriving something from this pasuk. Ela bechachet, when it says that it will not be, you will not incur guilt, we're learning something different. Velo beishtechachet, that if a man promises something and doesn't pay it, he gets guilt, but his wife does not get guilt. Even though they're a household and, you know, a guy buys something and he has to pay the bill, but then he can't pay, he doesn't have enough money. So now the wife has to go pay it, right? So in this case, no, she will not incur guilt. Now, why would you think that she would incur guilt? If the man promised a korban, why would you think that the wife would incur a guilt? Well, here's why. There is another case where the wife does incur guilt. She gets punishment for him not paying. Where do we see that? Sakadet dachamino ilva amar bi Yochanan, v'item rabbi Elazar, en ishto shel adam eta, ela im ken mevakshin mimenu mamon ve'en lo. Says a person's wife will die before her time in a case where he owes money and they come and try to collect it and he doesn't have the money to pay. Where do we learn this from? From Pasuk, from in Mishle, where it says, if you don't have enough money to pay, then, you know, why should you put yourself in a situation where you can't pay? Why should you put yourself in a situation where the person will take your bed from under you? So the pasuk in the original meaning is that, you know, don't incur debts that you can't pay back. Otherwise, the person is going to come and take your house and take your furniture and take your bed. And then you're not going to have a bed. You're going to have to sleep on the floor. You're going to be homeless. So be careful. Don't take debt upon yourself. That's the original. But Rabbi Yochanan is interpreting the word mishkavecha metaphorically, not meaning your bed, but rather your wife. And if someone puts himself in debt, then his wife is going to suffer too. And ultimately, she will bear the guilt, the punishment for not paying. Okay, interesting idea. Now, our point is, Emma Bahai Avon Debal Teachel Name Ishtometa. I might have thought that this is not only true if I owe another person money, but also if a person donates an animal and he doesn't pay it on time. Maybe you'd say the same thing happens, that his wife will incur the guilt. Kamash Matlan. So our pasuk, Bechachet, Velo Bishtechachet, teaches that only the person that did the donation, he alone is responsible, and not his wife. And so this is a good lesson for Adam and Chava, right? Is not, she tries to blame his wife. He tries to blame his wife, but doesn't work, right? He gets a punishment too. And so this would be the same idea. If it's his sin, if he delays the animal, then he will bear the punishment alone. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen ve'amen.